Thank you for choosing Dwelling Place City Church Podcast.
One, get your Bibles out, hold them up, say this with me out loud. This is my Bible. It's the living Word of God. Has the power to change lives. And I declare by faith that my life and the life of those around me will be changed by the Word. Amen. As we jump into the Word this morning, if you've been with us, you know that we've been in a series on the Ten Commandments. And it's fitting this morning, even after, you know, such a rowdy and awesome video about revival and being excited about what God's doing in our world. Somebody else is doing something else in our world. And unless your head's been in the sand or you've been on a media fest, you would know that yesterday there were two mass shootings. I don't know what the total of the deaths are at this point. One in Ohio and one in El Paso, Texas. And you know what? You can't tell God, get out. You can't turn your back on the Ten Commandments. And you can't decide you don't want Jesus involved in anything and not expect that to happen. You throw God out of the schools and the schools come undone. You throw the Ten Commandments out of the courtroom and you won't let it be displayed someplace. You spit in God's face and something's going to happen and it isn't going to be God's doing. Because what happens is when you turn your back on God, you open the door to darkness. And darkness comes in and does what's going on. And it's fear-based. It's all about making you afraid. And the greatest thing I can say to you as a shepherd and one who does his best to try to love you and care for you, and not that I'm, you know, the ultimate voice to you. I'm not. He is the voice to you. But you got to find peace in your heart while the world around you is circling the drain. I don't know where the nation's going. I declare by faith that God's going to turn this around. But he's not going to turn it around without church standing up and making herself known. And so I want to say to you this morning, as we jump into the ninth commandment in this series, I want you to understand this is about how we love God in public and in open. And we no longer will we side with any casualness about who Jesus is. There's only one way to God. Amen. And eternal life comes through Jesus Christ, Amen. Who died on the cross for our sins. Father raised him from the dead. He paid for our sins. And by his name only can we find eternal life. If you believe that, give him a praise. This is going to be an interesting one today because we're in commandment number 9. And commandment number 9 is in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. And it's going to be on the screen. Listen to what it says. Commandment number 9. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. Now, in this series, we've been learning that the Ten Commandments are relevant for today. Lots of Christians put the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament and say, well, that's okay. That's another list. But now we're working out of the New Testament. Wrong. But I've said to you over and over in this series, for now, this will be the ninth time, when Jesus stated the Ten Commandments in the New Testament, he did so by stating them in 2. You shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. 1. And 2, love thy neighbor. Who's thy neighbor? Now, thy neighbor, that doesn't just mean the person on your block. That's everybody, okay? Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus did not eliminate the Ten Commandments. He defined them and made them doable in those two statements. And so today, it's you must not testify falsely against your neighbor. In other words, it's about lying. Now, the very first lie was in the garden. It all started with lies. And here it's about not testifying falsely against a neighbor. And like I said, your neighbor is anyone. It's not just the person on your block. And so when we're talking about telling the truth, we're talking about the difference between truth and lies. And you might think, well, how does this fit me? Man, I'm not under oath. Really? Because it's talking about who you testify against. Deuteronomy 19:15 says this, "You must not convict anyone of a crime on the testimony of only one witness. The fact of the case must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses." So in other words, Jesus made it clear in the New Testament just simply with the story of the Good Samaritan. Who's my neighbor? It's anyone within your reach and within your influence. Our neighbor doesn't mean, like I said, someone who lives on your street. It means anyone that you're associated with or bump into. And so in other words, this is about lying and telling the truth. And about telting the truth before. In fact, I'm going to ask you a question. You might not want to respond to this one until you hear this out. Okay. Is that a hint? Okay, be careful about it. Before you answer this question, you might want to answer, have you ever lied before? Because if you raise your hand, you just did. Okay? Not one of us that hasn't exaggerated or lied before. And the problem is if we call them little white lies, then we call them little lies, and then we call them overt lies, and we put them in testimonies. And so it's about telling the truth, and it's about lying when you realize that you're under oath the moment you give your life to Christ and you surrender to him, you're under an oath. You're under an oath to God. And any time we fabricate, embellish, or tell anything but the truth, we're involved in commandment number 9. Now, but I know this is going to get, I can already feel the tension in the air, okay? But this is about understanding that anytime we testify against someone else in a court situation, there has to be two or three witnesses. Why? Because one person isn't enough. And so we see, you watch court television, you watch situations where witnesses show up and testify against an individual. Well, even in the Old Testament, it says, and in the Mosaic Law, it says there must be at least two people if there's going to be an accusation about a person. So justice demands witnesses. Turn to your neighbor and say, justice demands a witness. Come on. You're going to wonder why. 4,000 years ago, there was no CSI. Okay? 4,000 years ago, you didn't have a crime scene unit. You didn't have DNA testing. Okay? There was no way to prove whether somebody had been at a scene or not, whether they'd been involved. There was no forensic science. There was no science that you could throw at a situation where someone had been accused of doing something, and now it was being judged. There was no fingerprint, and certainly there were no video cameras videoing everything like it is today. The shootings that we just saw in these two situations yesterday are on video. No matter where you go right now, on this campus, every square foot of this campus is on video. There's no place you can go. And it's a matter of security and safety, but integrity. In the Old Testament, there was nothing like that. The truth of a matter on who was right and who was wrong was always settled by two or three witnesses, no matter how big or small the situation is. So witnesses in the Old Testament, if they testified against you and these two people or three people were saying, I saw Bob hit Joe with a club and he died. Those witnesses had to be two, and those witnesses also were required if Bob was judged guilty by the witnesses and the court, The witnesses that testified had to be the one that started the execution. Okay? Now, you might think, well, that's no big deal. I'm lying about him anyway. I want to get rid of him. The only problem is even after you execute the person, if it's later discovered that you lied under oath, you were executed. Now, how many of you know that changes testifying? Okay? Because you just start thinking, well, wait a minute. Was this really on camera? What happens if they show up, somebody later after the trial, and how many times you watch the crime scene shows, and after the crime, all the jury's in, and certain person's been convicted, and they're already in jail, and somebody shows up with evidence after. Man, all of a sudden you realize this is a serious matter. False witnesses were stoned. So in any time in the Old Testament you were lying, you could be stoned. Okay? Now, let me give you an example of Jesus when he caught the woman in adultery. Okay? Watch this. Because I know you're thinking, how does this associate to me? Just hang on. Now watch what he says in the story of the woman caught in adultery. John 8:2, it says this. But early the next morning, he was back again at the temple, and a crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and he taught them. And as he was speaking, the teachers of religious law, which are the attorneys, and the Pharisees, the rest of the attorneys and the prosecutors, brought a woman who had been caught in the act. Get this now. She'd been caught in the act, and she was in court now being tried, of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. So now here's this woman. They have declared they've caught her in the act of adultery. They now have her before Jesus in front of a crowd, and the accusers are all attorneys. Okay? Verse 4. The teachers said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. Verse 5. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? So in other words, they turn to Jesus and they go, okay, the law says we have to stone her. Now, you've been forgiving everybody. You've just been letting everybody off. Like, he condones things. And so they kind of corner him. And they say, what do you have to say about this? Verse 6. They were trying to trap him into saying something that they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down. Now, get this. He stoops down. So they're all standing around. Woman's in the middle. Jesus is in the middle, and he stoops down, and he wrote in the dust with his finger. Now, I've read all the stories and all the commentators about what they think Jesus actually wrote there. I have my opinion. I may be right or wrong, but you know what I think he wrote? Commandment number 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. So he writes down the sentence in the dirt. Now, watch this, verse 7. They kept demanding an answer. So he stood up, okay, and he said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. What's he doing? He's calling all the Mosaic law in, and he's saying, guys, you better be careful. You better be careful about your accusations. How many times has somebody said something about you that you knew was untrue and you couldn't defend yourself? Okay, now listen carefully. So, verse 8, it says, and he stooped down again. So he's up. He says, which one of you haven't done this? Because they just wrote 7 in the dirt. Okay, watch this. And he stooped down, and he wrote in the dust again. You know what I think he wrote this time? Commandment number 9. If you're lying, guys, you get what you want her to get. Does that make sense? He's calling this to bear. Now watch verse 9. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with a woman. She's still standing, and he's down. Verse 10. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said, and Jesus said, neither do I. Now, people have said, well, Jesus, gosh, he just condoned her adultery. She hasn't been proven guilty yet. And we to this day don't know if she actually did it, because all of her accusers realized they were going to be stoned if they were caught lying. I don't know about you, but he didn't let a guilty woman go. Does that make sense? Now, I know people go, but the issue comes down to this. When we tell the truth and when we lie, something spiritual takes place. You okay? Okay, now watch this. Ultimately, number 9 is about lying, honesty, integrity, and a moral code of conduct. What do we see coming apart in our nation today? Go to Congress. Just go to Congress. Both sides of the aisle. It doesn't matter. You're getting fresh water and salt water out of the same well, and it doesn't work. It's who's going to tell the truth. You know, matter of fact, remember the when it says in court, if you've ever been sworn in, you've ever been on a jury, you've ever been in the trial, you're going to witness what they say. Will you tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Why did they say the whole truth? Here, let me give you an example. Let's say you're going to meet your friend for lunch on a Tuesday at noon. And your friend showed up, but you didn't. And so your friend calls you on your cell phone, and it's like 12:45, and says, dude, are you coming? And you respond, and you say, well, I'm sorry, but, you know, in the morning my mother fell off the porch and broke her hip. And sorry. Oh, man, I'm sorry to hear that. Is she okay? Yeah. I'm going to take care of her. Now, that was the truth. It just wasn't the whole truth, because the whole truth was she fell off the porch 2 days ago. Are you with me? In other words, you're leaving something out. So it's you tell everything. You tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So lying is spiritual. Lying, anytime we embellish, and I know you've never done that. You've never, oh, come on. Have you ever exaggerated? If you didn't say yes, you're a liar. Okay. Come on. Now, I'm not trying to condemn you. Let's have some fun with something that's a little bit heavy, okay? Ultimately, it's telling the whole truth. You can't leave anything out. And you can't add something to make it better. I can't tell you over the years how many times I've done it. You've done it. But we have to learn to deal with this issue and deal with it justly, because we always push it off on somebody else. So lying is spiritual. Watch what Jesus said, John 8:44. For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do evil things he does. He was a murderer. His character, for he is a liar and he's the father of lies. Now listen to what Jesus has just done to the 9th commandment. He said, every lie and every exaggeration has a spiritual dark side to it. I don't know about you. Officer, what did I do? You were over the speed limit. Did you know how fast you were going? Come on, what are you going to say? Yes, sir, I knew how fast I was going. You were going 65 in a 45, but you're not going to cop to it. Okay? Is that a lie? Gosh, it's getting quiet. I'm waiting for the letters and people write me. I'm sure I haven't. I'm going to get them. It's like, when are you going to get out of the 10 commandments so we can have some fun? Okay. So according to Jesus, all half-truths are whole lies. According to Jesus, all half-truths are spiritual. Now, I didn't say you have a demon. I didn't say you have a devil. I'm just saying you open the door to darkness in that area of your life. Because how many of you know, if you've ever lied, and you lied about something big, and you went back and you had to retell it, you couldn't remember everything you said. Why? Because you made it up. You can't remember it. It's not seared in there as a fact. So according to Jesus, all half-truths are lies. There's no such thing as little white lies, and I want to illustrate it to you right now.
Well, hey, Suzanne.
Hey,
what
Mom.
Are you doing? Suzanne, are these yours? These cigarettes yours?
No.
These aren't yours right here?
Those aren't mine. No, you can put them here in this box right here. Hey, Mom. So, you know how we were talking about, you know, that movie, you know, my friends are going to go see that movie?
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Okay, so, I know there's like a little bit of violence in the movie, right? But it's just like a little bit, and I know it's not real, right? Right? Okay, well, there's like a little bit of cussing in the movie, but it's just a little bit, and we know that's not real, right?
Okay.
So there's like a little bit of nudity in the movie, but it's just a little bit of nudity. We know that's not real, right? So, you know, my friends are gonna go see this movie, and well, I just want to know if I can go too.
Sure, Suzanne, go.
I knew you wouldn't let me go. Oh. No, you didn't.
I did. Go see the movie.
Oh my gosh, you're like the coolest mom ever.
I know.
Okay,
before you go, I have a big surprise for you.
Yeah.
Yes. I made you your very favorite double chocolate, triple brownie. Your favorite. Just
that's
for you.
My favorite.
I know.
Oh, you made this just for me.
I made it just for you, Suzanne.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm going to take
it
with me.
Oh, wait. Before you go. I just want you to take a couple bites. Just try it. Come on. I made it just for you, Suzanne. Come on.
Kind of weirded me out.
I'm not trying to. Just give it a shot. Just take a couple bites. You'll like it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Eggs and flour and sugar and milk.
So good.
I know. And cocoa, vanilla. Actually, this time, I put a little something else in it. But just a little tiny bit, not much, but just a little something.
It does taste a little different.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's only a little bit, so it shouldn't ruin the whole thing because it's just a little bit.
Powdered sugar?
No, not powdered sugar.
Allspice?
No, not allspice.
Paprika?
It's a little bitey, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, it's not paprika.
No, but what is it?
Well, actually, Suzanne, I put in just a little bit of dog poop, but not much. It's just a little bit, so it won't ruin the whole thing. Just a little bit.
And not real, though. It's not real.
Yeah, Suzanne, it's real. It's real dog poop. A little bitey. Just a little bit. I told you.
Is that from the big dog or the little dog?
It's from the little dog, Suzanne, but it's only a little bit. Just a little bit. It's okay.
I get it.
What?
I get it. You know, next time you don't want me to go see a movie, you know, you gotta feed me poop brownies. I don't want to go see the movie anymore. I just want to go get something to drink. And that better be lemonade in the refrigerator.
Just a little bit. Okay. Does that kind of make sense? In spiritual terms, that's really the truth. Because you may not know it, you can't tell it's there, but it's influencing. And it's making a difference in the long run. And a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here, and the next thing you know, you build a pattern. Because you get away with it. And, you know, we all have to struggle with this, and we all understand that it's how we deal with honesty and integrity, how we deal with the fact that we live our lives as witnesses before the world. All lies matter. All lies. There are no lies that don't matter, small or large. under oath in a courtroom or simply in a conversation. All lives matter. That includes the exaggerations, embellishments, and any form of deception. Any form of deception to cause things to move in your favor. All lies are intentional. You never lie by accident. None of us do. You never exaggerate by accident. You say, well, it just came out of me. It came out of you. And you understand that all lies have a spiritual father. And it's darkness. And you understand how important this is. God's light casts no shadows. When you're walking in the light of the truth of God, do you realize God's light, there are no shadows. With the sun, there are shadows. There are shadows on the stage with stage lights. In God's light penetrates everything, and there's no shadow. And so we understand how important this issue is because it's at the core of a nation's integrity and at the core of an individual's integrity. How we live our lives telling the truth. All liars know the truth, and liars can't handle the truth. Liars can't handle. Y'all remember the movie of Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson? And you remember that scene where it was about the truth? Watch this.
Object. And when it went bad, you cut these guys loose.
Your Honor,
you had Marcus inside a bony transport.
Your Honor, you doctored the logbook.
Damn, you coerced the doctor.
Consider yourself in contempt.
Colonel Jessup, did you order the code red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
And that's the truth. So many people can't handle it. They can't handle it because it puts them in a situation that may not be favorable. But in the long run, you're going to want to be on the side of truth because truth always wins in the end. Truth always prevails, and it's important that we understand that. So if we listen to this and we understand that, listen, I'm just being honest with you, I've exaggerated. I haven't gone out and intentionally lied. And in the past where I have, I've gone back and I've apologized. I've actually confessed it. And it was the ugliest, hardest thing I've ever done. And it wasn't about, any legal case or any kind of situation, but just lying to someone about something and embellishing. As a matter of fact, in the 12 years I taught at Fuller Seminary and the doctors and the master's classes, and it was incredible in the classes because I'd teach them on spiritual issues and we'd always deal with this issue. We'd always deal with the matter of lying. Because it's the little lies that opens the door to the enemy. How many of you know if you're in a dark room and you just crack the door a little bit, the light invades? It works the opposite way. And I would always, at the end of the class, and whether it was doctorates or master's classes, I would say for my section, I'd say, here's a 20-question quiz. I want you to answer all, I want you to read all 20 questions and answer them. They're essay in form. And so I'd hand them the test. And I'd say, turn them over on your desk. You don't look at it until I'm done talking to you. And when I'm done talking with you, turn the test over and you follow the test. And they would all flip it over. And I'd say, when you're done with the test, flip the test back upside down. Put your pencil or a pen or whatever, the writing instrument, on top of the questions. And there were 20 questions, and they're all essay. And I know they were all thinking, 20 essay questions? We're going to be here until the cows come home, okay? I said, this is what you want to do. You want to pass the class on my portion? Do the test. And what they didn't know was, of the 20 questions, question 19 was, if you've read every question, the first statement is, read every question before you answer any one of the questions. The 19th question was, if you've read all the questions to this point, the test is over, turn it upside down. And I would sit there and watch, and one by one, somebody, and you'd see one get it, and another one just reading, and then all these people would start. And then sometimes 60, 70 students in a class start flipping over, and another student's going, and these other students that were looking around going, why are they flipping them over? They're answering questions. Why? Because it comes to the matter of integrity. It's the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And when it comes to your witness and your testimony about who Jesus Christ is, you don't leave anything out. You be honest before God and for the people around you. And you understand that half-truths are whole lies. That exaggerations expose our insecurities. Man, I would go to pastors' conferences in the 12 years that I traveled and did the subject of my book. And all over the world, been on every continent, and would go everywhere. And I can tell you, inevitable question. We'd be in a conference, and there'd be, I would do them from 20 pastors to, at one point, there were Chicago Bulls Arena, 23,000 people. But it would come down to, at one point, pastors would come up, and they'd always ask the same question. So, Pastor, how many people go to your church? Because in pastors' circles, your credibility is attached to numbers, not to your integrity. And I knew what it was like, because here I'm teaching, and they're going to find out I live in Hemet, and I don't pastor the biggest church in town. And the thing that goes off inside pastors is we want to say, well, let's bump it up. 400, 500, 600 people. They'll never know. And they never would. But lies always dabble in insecurity. You're afraid to tell the truth. Did I ever embellish? I'm sorry to say I did. I didn't do it many, maybe a couple hundred folks. And then I'd always remember that skit. It just takes a little bit. And I can't tell you, there were times when I would have to go hunt that pastor down and say, Pastor, I'm sorry, I embellished. I just wanted you to think more highly of me. When you're more concerned about what other people think about you than what your heavenly Father thinks about you, the Father lies is standing at the door. Does that make sense? You don't get to lie, you don't get to cheat, you don't get to exaggerate on forms or in situations or circumstances. We tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Psalms 32, 2 and 3 says, listen to what David says. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. Complete honesty. Telling the truth all the time. Now, when we understand this, I want to give you an image, and I want you to see this. You've heard me use this before if you've gone to church very long, and I use this in our conferences all the time. It's just a little lie, okay? Give me this image, and that image is just, get the picture. Someone buys, a developer buys 100 acres of property. They're going to build a mall. And in that 100 acres of property, there's one couple. And this little old couple is raised their children in that house, and they're not going to sell. And so the developer has 99 acres. He's got one little old couple in the middle. And if they don't sell, by law, and we have realtors in the room that can confirm this, no landowner can isolate any other landowner. By law, they have to provide 24-hour access to their property. Does that make sense? Yes. That's law. In spiritual terms, just a little bit of dog poop. And the enemy comes and goes at will. You think it won't add up, but the next thing you know, you find it easier and easier to embellish, easier and easier to exaggerate on a tax form, easier to exaggerate on an application, on a credit form, whatever the case is. And it's a huge thing to God. It makes a difference to Him. It was a lie that got us into this mess. The serpent Hey, Eve, did God really say that if you eat of that tree, you would die? Did God really say that? And it goes on and on from there. What I want to say to you today is, liars can never be helped. People who can live with lies are almost impossible to help because they can't admit they're wrong. They can't say, man, I was wrong. I blew it. I should not have done that. I did it, and I'm ready to take the consequences. If you've ever had a drug problem, you've ever had an alcohol problem, you've ever had a porn problem, you've ever had an anger problem, and the list goes on. The only way to get free is to own it and admit it to someone who you know will stand with you and agree with you. And that's what repentance is about. Repentance is about owning the fact that you've done something wrong. And you're ready and willing to say, Father, I would rather be right before you and wrong before them than be right before them and wrong with you, because you are the only one that will stand with me when I'm wrong. Does that make sense? Oh my goodness, that can be liberating. And if you understand this, there are consequences. It's just a little. It's just a little. Timothy said this, and I'll finish with this morning. Timothy said, there are those whose conscience has been seared. They have lied so many times. I want to say to you, if you know you have a problem with lying, the way, and it doesn't just, you don't get over it just like that, okay? You've got to make a quality decision, and you've got to go to somebody, and you have to say, I think I have a problem with lying. And I think I need to confess this. I need for you, because the Bible says, confess your faults one before another and pray for one another that you might be healed. Those are Jesus' words. And if you know you have a problem in that area of your life, or you know somebody else that has a chronic problem, have grace on them and minister to them and speak life, because this ninth commandment, we're seeing rogue in our nation. We have politicians on both sides of the aisles. We have lawmakers. We have people that are afraid to stand by this truth. And there is only one truth, and it comes from God's word. And when we violate this truth, when we go against what the Bible says, we are living a lie. If you believe that, give God a praise. Man, this is a hard one. This was a hard one because it hits every one of us. Nobody gets out alive on this one. Well, everybody gets out alive and just get unscathed, okay? And so, here's the bottom line. When we lie and when we exaggerate, we affect our witness for Him. Your life and my life is a testimony to who Jesus is. And when you and I violate that oath, it makes a difference in somebody else's life. And I want to say to you today, you can be free. You can be absolutely set free. You have a problem with porn? It's time for you to step up. I'm just going to use some of the overt ones. You have a problem with anger? It's time to admit it. There are going to be people up here this morning that we're going to pray with you and we're going to agree with you. You say, well, man, what if I tell somebody and they tell somebody else? You're more afraid about everybody else finding out than about being honest with Him. Does that make sense? Now, don't get me wrong. If I confess something to somebody, I don't want everybody going, you know, putting on Facebook, okay? Yeah. Boom. I'm done with Facebook, okay? And don't go on Facebook and confess it, okay? Please, please, do me a favor. Don't go on Facebook. Don't go on social media and tell everybody what you did wrong, okay? But if you find that and you don't make it harder than it is. Is it going to be painful? Yeah. Is it going to hurt? Yeah. But you get healed. Father, I thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, I thank you for convicting us. Lord, I won't leave myself out of this equation. That, Father, you would give us the grace to love others who have lied to us and give us the grace to apologize to those to whom we've lied. And we thank you for your mercy, Lord Jesus. Your love endures forever. You love us even when we're wrong. You know our faults and you know our shortcomings. And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, please, I want to ask you this simple question.